Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast. We have a win to talk about. Finally, another win that perhaps relieves some pressure on the head coach. Perhaps not. We'll have a chat about that. We've been asked to talk about other things as well, but you know what? It's nice to talk about a win. That's why we're here, firstly, isn't it? To watch Sunderland win games. So a few of us here this evening. John and myself, Stephen Goldsmith, as always, Gareth Barker. Evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Everything okay?
Probably, yeah. Let's just say yes.
Yes, let's go with that. Yeah. People don't eat no more, really.
Nah, not really, no.
So unless we've haven't got much to talk about and we need some small talk, but loads. No. Tom Walsh, must be a while since you've joined us on a Monday pod, Tom.
Yeah, I was just waiting for us to win again. I thought I'd come back then.
Is the weather across in your part of the world as disgusting as it is here?
You just forgot where I live, didn't you?
No, I know you live in Austria. Let's just make that clear.
It's very
it's threatening.
Because
let's that clear. He lives in Austria.
As soon as I said your part of the world, that crossed my mind as well. I thought people are going to think that I forgot where I live. Now I genuinely hadn't. I just what I said.
So. Yeah, it's very nice. It's very cold, but it's not as miserable as back home.
It just rains all the time and windy all the time. Sick of it.
Yeah, that's why I moved away.
Well, but has it always been like this, though? Because, like, in my mind, it hasn't. It just rains every single day. I'm sick of it.
When I was back at Christmas, back in Bury, it did rain every day. And I was like, this is really depressing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, well, at least we've got winter to talk about. Jack Austwick is joining us, probably wondering why he's joined a podcast with three middle-aged men moaning about the weather, but...
Well, you want to wind that back? How dare you?
Well, this is why...
Wow.
Jack, give us something current to moan about. What's your generation having a moan about? Better start a win game. Put you on the spot there.
I know, you have, right? So, no, I'm a positive person, mate. There's nothing to moan about in my life.
Oh, there you go. You are too young. Beautiful. Makes me feel sick, right?
I did get on Twitter the other day, somebody did say to me that the older generation of supporters do tend to be a bit more pessimistic, apparently, when they're referring to a comment I'd made. So I'm officially in the older generation of supporters now. That's it.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You can't come back from that, can you, really? Whenever I'm making a point, I'll start saying, now I've been gone. There you are, right, since 1997. Yeah, that's the worst performance I've ever seen.
I've been going since 1986. Season ticket holder since 1993. After I ruthlessly missed out on a cup final ticket in 92. I've said this before. People don't care. Right. Should we talk about the win first? Because that's nice, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah. Before we get on to moaning about things.
Well... We can't break character too much.
No, that's what the people want. They want us to be... they've come here to listen to... apparently, middle-aged men get angry about a football team. So,
I'll tell you what age does middle-aged start? Does anybody know?
Well, certainly it doesn't start around my age, thank you very much.
There's no way I'm living at 80, so I'm banging the middle age.
I just thought it just worked with what I was saying, though, didn't it? I don't know. Anyway, right. Where do we start? Nice to see Lyndon Gooch back, wasn't it? And have his moment.
He had a moment, all right, didn't he?
Yeah,
Jesus.
he also helped us out a little bit as well. I mean, the obvious place to start with, were they possibly the first team this season not to double up on Jack Clark? I think that was a good idea. Because you've got to feel sorry for Lyndon Gooch there, really. Like, he's that good, Clark. He goes inside, he goes outside. Gooch was always more of an attack and a fullback than a defensive fullback anyway. He was on a hide and nothing from there, from the start there, wasn't he? Well, on start with that, Gareth. Telling me about
are
Jack
you talking
Clark's
to me?
Performance. Yes, why not?
I actually felt a little bit sorry for Lyndon Gooch by the end of it. You know, and like, I just thought he's come back and he's probably had the worst game I've seen him have at the stadium at night, like, yeah, in years. He just got absolutely torn apart, as the song goes. And I think he won one tackle against him all day. And it was just he just routinely went round him. It was a bit humiliating in I think it was the second half where he was in his own half, Clark this is, and Gooch went to him and he did a Cruyff turn and then Gooch fell over. And I just thought, like, oh. So I'm glad he got the reception that he did, because he's a much better player than that. And it's a shame that in some context that it went that way for him on his return, because he probably would have wanted to have played a lot better.
He got an assist, and that's all people care about, stats these days. So on
yeah.
This is the thing, though, isn't it, with stats and football? This is like, you know, his stats for the game go down, one assist. Oh, he must have played well.
Three goals
yeah,
conceded,
well,
though.
Well.
Yeah, and that's all down his side, pretty much. But Clark was excellent. I thought Barr was excellent. I thought defensively they were probably the worst team defensively that we've seen this season, aside from Southampton, I think. Southampton have obviously turned it around since we beat them 5-0. I don't think, on the evidence of Saturday, Stoke will be turning it around, because they were quite poor, really. But I thought that the attacking wise, they were really good at times in some of the movements, but defensively, once they returned the ball over, it was they couldn't really cope with us.
Yeah, they did have a lot. They did seem to have quite a lot of chances, and had they taken the lead in the game, it might have been a different story. But it's another game where we just show the. I know Abdullah Bar got two assists and a goal, but it also shows the importance of Jack Clark and how everything just comes from him. And we really can't sell it in the next 3 days. Yeah, he's just great, isn't he?
If ever a manager, head coach needed a win, not even needed a win, you've just said there, Tom, needed a first goal to go in his favour, because you felt like that was just really finely balanced, didn't you? And with the Pritchard stuff, which we'll get on later, coming out before, you just felt, if Stoke score here, this could get nasty. As it was, we scored, and then I felt it was pretty routine after that, personally, quite comfortable.
Yeah, if they'd scored first, it would have been a classic toxic afternoon at the stadium alight that we've had so many of in the
not a
in
long
the year
time
since
though.
Not a long
Not a while. When was last time?
Under Lee Johnson, probably. Like,
did it get that? Did it get to that though?
Oh wait, no. Sorry, yeah. Parkinson probably. Gillingham game. That was. I don't know, and then we had COVID, so I don't know. I've been in a few. I mean, I went to the Coventry game about 3 weeks ago that was like that.
Yeah,
so
it was getting up there. Yeah,
it and I think it's like the way that what's been happening during the week and the way he keeps talking about things. It's had that first goal gone to Stoke. Yeah, it could have been such a much different afternoon, but it didn't, and that's good for a bit.
Certainly is good. You mentioned Barr there, and I think, Jack, we've seen this from him before. Southampton at home springs to mind when we saw a performance like this from him, and we'll get on the formation a little bit as well, but I feel like we needed that from him, so we give him credit for it. He needs to bring that more often.
Yeah, he's been one of the frustrating ones, I guess you could call him, because we've always known he had the talent. He showed glimpses of it last year, and then this year he's coming to his own a bit more, but he's had some poor forms. Obviously, he got jeered off against that in that Coventry game. That was awful for him.
Yeah,
yeah, that's really poor. But he seems to have bounced back quite well. He was good against Ipswich, and then somehow got dropped against Hull, didn't he? And it was felt quite harsh. But I think he's solidified a spot now. And even when Roberts is back fit, he's going to have to work to get back in the team because Spar's providing a bit of end product as well, which is something you like to see. We needed that for him, one of the young lads to come through and have a really good game, and he did exactly that. I was quite happy with him.
I think as much as anything, like you need, you if you're going to change. So the formation changed, wasn't it? The there was no number 10, and it was very much 4-3-3, flat three across the middle of the park, which we've not seen in a long time. I can't recall Tony Mowbray ever playing that. Bale's not played that since he's come in.
No.
And you need your front three to perform if that's going to be the case, because you're losing that number 10 creator. You know? So it was important that he did something. So that was good to see. Talk to me about that formation change, Gareth. What do you think? It seemed to suit the midfield three a lot better, didn't it? Bellingham is far better. Well, no. He's played that deep before in a two and struggled, I thought. But I thought the three of them across the middle of the park like that, I thought he looked better there in that position, you know, with a numerical advantage.
I thought we did okay. I thought we looked less threatening through the middle, generally. And sometimes the game kind of passed us by in midfield, I thought. But because the wingers were so aggressive and they did most of the work from an attack perspective, I guess didn't really notice. I thought like maybe nullified some of Neil's more positive play. Not that he had a bad game or anything. I don't really think Ekwa's off the ball work is particularly great from a defensive perspective. So I know people have said, oh, we looked better, but I didn't feel like...
Well, the bar's not being high.
No, that's what I mean. I think it would be hard. I think it's hard to read. I would say it's hard to read anything too much into that change. I don't feel it was so influential on the result personally. But I know that a few of the other lads in the chat sort of said the same, said they thought it. So, well, that's all about opinions, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah, we're just added an element of control. I thought that we hadn't been shown in recent games. I think it did work, to be fair.
Well, you're wrong.
Right. Somebody tell me.
I'm not asked, really.
He's something, right? Somebody tell me why he won't swap 09 and sealed round. Please. Somebody make this make sense to me, please.
Because 09 is so good at centre-back. That's one, obviously.
Okay, well, that's obviously not the reason. So if anybody wants to give me...
I don't know, but the thing is with 09 that when we bought him, it was like, oh, this player, he's great because he can play centre midfield, but he also can play this array of positions. And that's why managers like Lee Johnson, Alex Neil, Tony Mowbray liked him. Because it's like, oh, right, well, wherever we've got a gap, we can play him. It's like he's played pretty much, I think, every position apart from like goalkeeper and like centre forward. But now, I think when Tony Mowbray was here, it was more like, okay, now he's a centre back, and I was like, okay, if he has to do it in necessity, because we have nobody else, and yeah, that's fine. But now it's just like he has to play centre back. The point where now we're playing centre backs at right back, when 09 is better suited to being a right back. I don't know, but now he's captain now as well, which, but now he just seems to be, this is his position now, and to me, I don't think he is a good centre half. I don't think he commands that kind of like.
The thing is,
he dominates centre forwards or whatever.
The thing is,
he does a job. He does a job, but he doesn't do that kind of. He's not like Dan Ballard. That's a centre back.
Mm.
Like, and I'm not sure. He just feels like a midfielder playing at centre back.
And I was thinking there'd be people listening now thinking, "Oh, you're having a go at 09 centre half again," and that wasn't even necessarily where I was coming from with it. Really, mine was more like I actually think he's a good. He was always a good right back to me. He can carry the ball, and as much as Seidl has improved on the ball and he starts to look a bit comfortable on it, he's not going to beat a man ever. He's never ever going to take a man on and beat him and drive. An 09 can do that from memory. Like he used to get up and down the touchline. I think like not like
He's got
amazing, but
experience in
he's
it.
going to offer more than Seidl from an attacking point of view, surely. And I just it
Well,
just doesn't make.
this is the thing. It's like, he what you're saying is true, and like I don't want it. It's not like I don't want him in the team. I just think he's better suited when instead of playing an actual centre half at right back. I don't know, but it seems to be this thing where managers are so reluctant to swap him out. I don't really understand that. And it's not just like a lot of supporters have now been like clocking onto this. It's like, why can't we just swap them round? It makes doesn't really make much sense to me, but I'm not a well-paid professional football manager, so.
No, but if we start conceding that, Tom, there's pointless doing any podcasts.
Well,
If we
I mean,
start
all my
bowing down,
opinions,
if we start bowing down
yeah.
the opinions of football managers.
Well, all my opinions are correct, so I think it's interesting as well because today we're in the market. Apparently, we're in the market for another centre back, and if we this what's his name,
Helder.
some
Helder, yeah.
Gelder, okay, yeah, like a young centre back,
Left back
and
as
that's
well,
just a left back. Oh, right, good because he won't be playing centre back, like. Because I was thinking, if we're trying to get another like centre back in, it's like, well, there's only if Dan Ballard is ever injured or Nani is ever injured. They never rotate them around, so it's just an interesting position we're going with, especially since we have cover in Triantis, but maybe they don't think he's very good.
I think he's a
Wait,
left
will
back
you
and a
be
centre half.
he'll be is Ballard suspended for the next game? He got another yellow card, didn't he? I don't know how many, what the cutoff is or how many he's got, but it kind of feels like he's had quite a lot of yellow cards.
I feel like he might be up. Did he not get one in the Matt Derby? So I feel like he might have got away with it. I
Okay.
thought one of the 10 might have been in the Derby. I could be
Okay.
wrong.
Well, I don't know. Well, if he, if that was
I
just
thought he was on
thinking,
nine.
because
I thought he was on
is
nine,
he?
Ballard.
I think he's on nine in the
Okay.
league.
Okay. When, what's the cutoff? Is it March?
No idea. You
Well,
need
he's definitely gonna. Well,
Chris Weatherspoon question. He's not here, so.
he's definitely gonna. Well, in that case, he's. Let's just say he's definitely gonna be missing, and that would be an opportunity. Well, it kind of restricts the opportunity again. Sorry to move 09, because you'll have to play there. So yeah.
Like he won't be though. It's like we've seen when we've had these issues before when
Yeah,
we've only
no.
got like we've got no right backs and then we're
Yeah.
having to play like Jack Clark as a auxiliary fullback. It seems the one position on the pitch that's just completely locked down.
It's also a bit odd when like Hume will go, like, tell, sorry, Seals playing right back as a centre back, but Pembele is on the bench as a right back and can't get on the pitch as a right back. When he comes on, he seems to play right wing, so it's a bit odd. But I just think it's the nature of the beast where the decisions were made from a transfer perspective. Yeah, we've signed some talented footballers, but if they're not, some of them aren't quite there yet, ready to start in the natural position on a daily basis, or at a, sorry, game by game basis, which is kind of annoying in some respects, or lots of respects, but it's just the way it is, isn't it? It's, and then it's that balance of how do we get this player into the team to get experience so he's comfortable playing in his natural position regularly. So it's a conundrum for any manager. You know, Mowbray tried to do it. It's quite hard, and I think you're frustrated with it in the end. Get the feeling Beale's a bit more invested in the idea, but it's kind of a bit, you're a bit more protected if you're invested in that idea, I guess, which is fine. It's a job he's agreed to do, so just got to hope that they can, you know, like, you know, meet the reach the potential, really. Because on the day, there can be really, like Barwa saw on his day, he's a more than competent championship player, but just that inconsistency. But I don't really blame him for that. He's been played all over the place. He must have played over 50 games for us. But I thought he was really good at the weekend. But anyway, we weren't talking about that.
Don't worry
Do you
about
know
that.
what?
Just let
You
the
know what middle
conversation
age?
flow, which
You know, you're
whichever
talking
way.
about being middle-aged. Well,
45, I've Googled it.
okay, so
So
of being an
we're
older
okay.
generation. So I well, obviously we've all well, me and Stephen definitely will have seen this lad's dad score against us
Hell
for
yeah.
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Do
so.
you know what's worse? Like, as soon as I realised what game that was, I could instantly remember our goal as well. Martin Smith scored at a header after about 2 minutes, I
Was
think.
it after? Yeah, it was 3 minutes, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was when he had a little goal played up front, and then we saw him as a centre
I
forward. And
thought I actually thought it was Kevin Phillips who scored that goal.
oh, I could be wrong. You might
It
be
was
right, you
Kevin
know.
Phillips,
It was a header, though,
and
wasn't
then
it?
held this. It was a header
Yeah,
like
it was.
right
Yeah,
across the keeper, sort of jumping backwards.
you're right. Yeah,
Did you know what else I remember about
Martin
that
Smith did
game,
have a
which
little
is really
purple
weird?
patch around
He
that
did,
era up front. Yeah.
yeah, because he came in. I remember once when Kevin Phillips pulled out the starting 11 right near the end and right near the start kick off, and Smith came in. But he did have a he. Smith did. He scored against Wolves Huddersfield, I remember, in that season. But I think Helder scored a header. It might have been as well. And I remember about that game weirdly is that the fire alarm went off right near the end, and everyone was like, "What's going on here?" Because
I
obviously it
can't
was like
remember that. I can't remember
the
that.
first. I think it was the first season at the Stadium of Light. I
It
think it
was,
was.
yeah. It
So,
was definitely, yeah.
but yeah, there you go. So we are old. So there you go. That's it. That is it does make you feel old when it's like.
Yeah.
All the all the like players who we watch, like their sons are all playing that with like Tyler Walker and what do you call him, Campbell, the forward,
Few Johns, Brennan Johnson,
Brennan Johnson. Yeah. Anyway,
Haaland.
Haaland.
There's loads of them.
Yeah,
Delap.
I know.
I was
Isn't
eight.
Ian Wright, isn't Ian Wright's grandkid now a pro?
Yes. Is it? I think he might be at Stoke.
I mean, oh God.
That game you
Anyway,
mentioned, I must have been, if it's first season, I would have been eight. So that's not, I'm not with you middle-aged people.
I love how
Okay,
you're just
no
trying so hard to like
way.
distance yourself from being anywhere near the same age as us. We're all right, 45.
Yes, it's because it's my birthday next week.
Oh, and I'm just accelerating your midlife crisis, am I? Right.
Yes,
It's like
thank
the
you,
thing is
Stephen.
it we're sitting on a call with somebody who has never saw Kevin Phillips play for Sunderland.
Yeah, me.
So it's like that's mad. That
Oh.
makes me feel sick.
But
So let's move on.
you started this. You
I
started this old man
know,
chat. You started,
I've
oh, I
gone.
remember this from the 90s, like
Do you
Buckaroo and
remember?
Plonk.
Yeah. It was much better in those days.
This
Yeah,
another down. From
yeah.
now on, we'll never go that far back ever. Right? We'll leave it. Go and listen to Quickly, Kevin, if you want. You in the 90s
Yeah.
nostalgic input. Right, Jack, let's talk about young. Let's talk about someone young. Talk to me about Mason Burstow's performance up front.
I might have been a bit overcritical, but I actually thought till his goal, I don't think he was that good.
He
Like,
was crap before his goal. I'm glad you said that because I thought he was. His confidence grew afterwards, didn't it?
it was like you could see he was trying to get involved, but that's when you felt like when you were saying about the goal, we needed that because Zbiti was giving the ball away, Ekwa was giving the ball away a bit, and you could t feel the atmosphere turning because it was just frustration. Couldn't keep hold of the ball at all, and then. I don't know. I remember turning to my brother actually and just saying he's having a really poor game. About a minute later, he scores. So it's typical. But he definitely grew. He's got his goal. Hopefully, that will kick him on. But yeah, I thought up until that, he was quite poor. But you just need to see him. You could see he's trying. He's really trying to get involved. And he was trying to link the player, coming a bit deeper and that. And I think he's always tried to do this. He's never really come off for him. But now. He's just never really seemed to have that many chances. I can't recall him. He hasn't like missed howlers like the likes of Hamir has. He just has nothing's fell for him really too much. So if he can start to put something together, I was quite shocked that he started, to be honest. I wouldn't have started him, but he needs to start putting a bit of a run together of games now. And hopefully he does actually get stuck with because It's pointless. The whole thing's a bit pointless if you just you let him have one good game and drop him again.
That's what he seems to be doing with the forwards at the minute, though. Just trying them one at a time, doesn't he? Like, you know, one game without scoring and then you're out. I thought it was one of those where, like, live, I thought, God, he scored, thank God. But, like, he actually nearly missed that. And then that's a bit harsh when you watch it back, because it was such a scruffy goal. When you watch it back, you it's really hard to put any power on that header, because there's no force of gravity coming towards you with the ball at all. So you can't put the power back into the ball. So he's had to generate power. And actually, he does direct his header away from where the goalkeeper was. I'm not sure he knew the defender was there. But he actually did all right when you look at the back. So that would have been a bit harsh to blame for that. But got himself a goal, Tom. So that's us not signing a striker now.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'd be quite disappointed if we didn't sign a striker. But yeah, what are you gonna do? It's as you were saying there. I really hope, look, his Burstow clearly needed that goal, and he seemed very, very happy about that goal. Just don't drop him for the next game. The problem is, it's like the next game is going to be really tough and in a place we never ever win at. So, yeah, I don't know, but yeah, good for him. Good for him getting his goal and getting his getting that monkey off his back. And it's just like, yeah, good for him.
Worked really well for Rooson. anything else? anything else anybody wants? I think Ekwa's goal is nice as well. I thought, like, this is what and this is what you need your midfielders to do. If you're not going to be playing a number 10, you need them to come in. And the thing is with Ekwa, is like, I don't know, it didn't help when the fans used to shout shoot every time he got the ball. And then I think against Hull, I think he had two absolutely terrible shots, and I think the crowd stopped from that moment, as if to say, yeah, we're not going to ask him to shoot anymore. But he can delay, I think, sometimes when he gets into good positions, and it was just a really good clinical finish, good one touch, and then second touch bottom corner, which is what we're going to need to see from him in this system, I think. So that was nice, wasn't it?
It was a good finish. It was good because he missed a big one in the first half. Like, he should have put that away, to be honest with you. But he seemed to be playing a little bit more advanced in that second half. Him and Neil seemed to swap a bit in that sense. He was getting more into the final third, and that's obviously where the goal came from. I mean, the header. At first, I thought it should hit him, but you can tell he has actually put some direction on that and put it out of bar. It's quite smart, and then really good finish as well. So, yeah, happy for him.
Both Meander and Russin are starting for the under-23s tonight, as is Pembele and Triantis.
Oh, okay.
And Bishop as well. So.
Oh, good. Oh, great.
No Hamir, which is interesting.
That's because he's starting on Saturday, that's why. Is it Saturday?
If you're thinking about a loan for that player, maybe.
But he needs to, doesn't he? Like we've said this a few weeks ago. There's nobody here for him to learn from or anything. Like, it's not even as if like you've got a journeyman in the squad who's not near your starting 11 who can get on the training ground. I mean, I know Proctor was a centre forward, wasn't he? So he'll be able to give him tips and stuff as somebody who's scored in the Premier League. But yeah, he's gonna have to go. Don't you be dissing our Proctor. How many winning goals against Liverpool have you scored in the Premier League, Tom?
Not many. But I've also never scored an own goal in the Premier League.
So. Well, yeah, there you go. You've got to be there to score your own goal, haven't you? Right. Okay. We'll have a break and talk about other stuff.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Wise Men's Air podcast. Right, a couple of things people have been asking us to talk about. Didn't even put the question request out there because we know and it comes down to us. And then Eleanor very cleverly passed the book in the reaction pod, which you can go and listen to if you want more reaction from the match, where she made it clear that they weren't going to be talking about anything other than the footballer would leave. They would leave the other stuff to us. So thanks for that. But here we are. First thing people have been asking us about was the Red and White Army meeting in the minutes. Everybody read the minutes for those?
I haven't read them yet, no.
Well, to be honest, is there that much to analyse, Tom, Jack, from that? I mean, what we'll acknowledge firstly is that Red and White Army put out a really good statement at the start of the meeting where they made it clear that they'd taken the fans for granted. But then what you got after that was what you would expect, I think, and a lot of politically shaped answers.
Yeah, it didn't.
Without any commitment coming back, action. At least they put time and targets on the minutes. At least, so I guess we've got to give them a chance to do it. But
yeah, it's just, do you believe they'll do anything? Like, really?
Well, the main thing where you can't take from it, and we've, you know, really sick of this Newcastle game stuff now. Like, but the one thing is, like, where we questioned it at the very start when the rumours started to circulate that they were going to give them this big attendance, big allocation, and we said then, you just don't do it in a game like this, and you push back at the FA, and you go off the police advice, and what's come out of the minutes is that they didn't even try that, which is beyond, I don't even know what the word is. Nah, it doesn't feel like naive's the right word, because it's almost, I can't shake the feeling it was intentional. The fact they didn't even challenge it, it's like, come on.
It's just the fact that, you know, like, at least give it a go. They think, right, we'll ask them. No, all right, sound. Yeah. We'll just go with it. Like, at least push a little. And, like, they're just really, really, like, soft underbelly in that sense. I mean, there wasn't that much actual carnage on the day, but with everything that came out of it, and just granting
could,
them that
could have been though. Like, look at the Wolves West Brom game, and like,
well, yeah,
and,
exactly.
And you know that all it could have took was one incident for that to happen. This can't, that derby is very similar to ours. It's two neighbouring towns who don't like each other, and you know that could have always happened. And I just think they were even challenged on some of it to say, well, why did previously, we've played Borough in the Cup and we gave them a small allocation. Did Borough request a bigger allocation? We're like, don't know. You know. Basically, we don't know. Didn't bother looking into it.
It is quite funny, that. It's like, did you ask that?
No, we didn't do that, no.
They do something they were meant to do, weren't they? It's just like, it's like, then, you know, you got to get in touch with the FA, and you know, when you ring up, it's like you got to go through the hotline, you know, selections, the chatbot thing. It's just like, you know, if you ever try to fix your, like, get your electricity bill, like, queried, just like, you'd be like, you know what happens. But you're right, Jack, it was just all of it was pathetic and soft, and nothing will really happen about it. They got, like, the club, like, got what they wanted, really. They got a load of money off Newcastle fans. We got beat without much of an incident, and I'm sick of hearing about it, really.
Yeah. There was nothing really else that I think was worthy of massive discussion. We've just got to give the I guess we've just got to see if they come back. Was some of the action points, that's all we can do, because of where previously I think they've been allowed to drop the infamous line saying we'll look into it. I think at least this time they've been Red and White Army have said, no, we need time frames on these auctions now. And that's all you can do from this point. So we're going to have to just wait. But some of that was pretty fun. They actually, even when he said that, Tom, all the stuff you've got to do, about middle, they actually said something along the lines of, well, you know, that's a different police force, you know, and there's a couple involved. And like, well, so what? Oh, different, right, yeah.
You're a professional football club. You should be used to dealing with this kind of stuff.
But... And then asked about the fan consultation and was like, well, you know, it was Christmas and we were all busy. Like, fuck off, mate. Like, yeah. So that was... That was the only thing really come from that, but we have been asked about that, so we just thought we'd give it a mention anyway, because we haven't looked at that before now. And then Pritchard thing. I mean, I've got my obvious theories on it, and you know, for those who have been living under a rock or whatever, He's the club put a statement out saying that Pritchard's made himself unavailable. The timing of that before the match was bizarre, but anyway, that's what they've done. It's caused a backlash from most fans, I would say, against Pritchard, which I think. Thing is, I was like, I don't know how much energy I'm going to waste on about it, because like the bottom line is we don't know what was said, and we don't know if Alex Pritchard has actually gone up to them and just said, you know what, I'm not going to play for you again, because who am I to tell fans they shouldn't be upset with that? Because if that's what's happened, then fans have got a right to not appreciate that and have a go at Pritchard. But we're speculating, aren't we? I think he's fallen into the trap personally, and they've set it up absolutely perfectly, in my opinion. And I just say, why have they gone public and sat at a press conference to tell people that they've made a contract extension to somebody? They've never done that before. Why are you doing that? And like always, with a certain person, language that's used is important. Why are you giving your opinion that a player's happy? So you should sign a contract? It was just really weird, and it was planted clearly with the knowledge that this was going to be the conclusion a few days later, is my opinion. It's not normal comms practice, is it? To come out and say, right, we've offered Pritchard a contract and he's really happy in the side, so I'm pretty sure he will sign that contract. Come on, who didn't think that was weird? That was such a weird thing to do, wasn't it?
Yeah, that is bizarre. It's odd, like, there's just no way we know the full story. Like, if it is as it is, I mean, I get both sides, because he's being mistreated really badly at the club, but at the same time, if he's just basically got on strike, you have let down the players and the fans, I think that's on him. But I don't think it is as it is, to be honest. I do think there is more to it.
They've played an absolute blinder with this, is my opinion. But again, I'm not going to, like you just said, sit here and that we're speculating a little bit. And if he has done that, then yes, then you know that is out of order, because he's being paid to play and he should play. And I just think, but I just don't know one person who automatically didn't say, when they come out and made a point of saying they've offered him a contract. And even then, they couldn't help but pat themselves on the back. They were like, oh, you know, we wouldn't normally do this for players, but we've decided to offer him a contract. And I just think, you know, I don't know one person who didn't think it was sus at the time, apart from the usual four or five people who attack us on social media, who, let's be honest, if the club sent someone around and they took a turd on the breakfast table, they would find a way to defend it. So, apart from those people, it's just the wording of it. Like, after the sold Ross Stewart, was the wording of it, like, suggesting that Stewart has asked for a transfer when it's not the case. And
they are very, like, if there's one thing that this club is very good at, it's putting the blame onto the player when they want to leave. Yeah. I mean, whatever's happened with Pritchard, he's made. If it's true what the club is saying, or if there's something in the middle, in the end of the day, he looks like a bellend now. Like, he's been made to look like in the eyes of certain supporters, or like a lot of supporters, it's like, oh, he looks like a bit of a dick. And it was the same with Stewart. It's like, well, we've been negotiating a contract for 18 months, and it's like, you know, we've offered him the best contract you get. Well, it's like, well, you know, rumour has it that it wasn't a contract that any striker worth his salt would take in this division. And they're very good at saying, oh, well, we tried. It's like, you know, the player wanted too much, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, player is bigger than the club, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and it's just a bit of a shame because it's also like Pritchard's a very good player and he's only like 30. And he's not, he's like, it's
Middle
not as if he's
age.
like middle aged, end of the road. But it's like he's probably going to get picked up by either a championship team, probably in the Midlands, managed by a former manager. And yeah, it just like it kind of masks a bit when you win a game at the weekend, but it's just like that's another experienced player that we've lost, but we're going to lose out of. And now we've got what, two left, like that are over the age of like 22 or something. It's like it's only 09 and that's it,
Roberts,
is it?
probably.
Oh, Roberts,
Bradley
yeah.
Duck.
Bradley
Oh, yeah,
Dack.
him. That was good.
I take it all back then. We're in good
Really
hands.
useful, yeah.
Well, I did see somebody on social media they actually to say, well, we've technically already got Pritchard's replacement in Dak, and I just it's time to shut the app. It's
Yeah,
just
yeah.
time to shut the app down completely if that's the lengths
That's
you prepare to
enough.
go to. Like,
Yep.
yeah. I think it's just that, and it's an interesting that as soon as something like this happens in football, it just it. I find it like a really interesting sort of psychological thing. Like the way people go on, it's like, well, if I went to work and I just said I wasn't going to do anything, I was, and they're just suckers. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, they would, but you work at B&Q. And there's loads
You're
of
not a
people who can
contracted
work.
foot.
Yes, you loads of
Yeah.
people work at B&Q, and lots of people could get that job.
Well, maybe
Unfortunately.
this is.
You're not very you like footballers are unique. Like they are like human commodities in a game full of money. So it's going to be different. It's just the way it is. I would say that profession people talk about professionalism. How professional is it to start leaking the contract? Well, not even
You
leaking
didn't even
the
leak it.
contract.
He called a press conference to tell
It's
everybody.
completely unprofessional to reveal to everybody the terms and conditions of a contract that you were offered to an employee. Like, I mean, that is like, what are you doing? Like, that's a private negotiation. And it's as soon as if I would be really pissed off if somebody did that to try and leverage a situation in your favor. It's manipulative, and it's like I'm not if people are gonna discuss whether or not rightly or wrongly he should have if he did refuse to play, people say, well, you should never do that, but it goes both ways, and also it's quite interesting, isn't it, when and again this was a long time ago, but it'll still happen now when a player isn't going to sign a new contract and they've signed a 3-year contract and they get the end of the 2-year contract without it Sunderland where they're like, oh well that's it, you're not playing for us anymore then. So
It's
it works
called
both ways. It's
high
worked
performance
both
culture.
ways. Yeah, yeah.
Telling someone, going to the press and telling someone about their contract details is incredibly high performance. It's like, who's going to tell me otherwise? And it's like, maybe they did do that thing. Alex Pritchard is like, well, I'm not going to sign that contract. So, well, we don't need you anyway. Bradley, get in here. You're playing free. Or get off the treatment table. Just like that.
But
It's the
idea,
manipulation of language. I see it. I see you. I see you.
the idea that now it was Pritchard who went away in the summer, which only came out over the weekend after nobody's challenged that narrative for the entire time up to this point. It was clear that they were trying to get him out in the summer,
That was
and
reported, wasn't it?
I couldn't confirm for sure with confidence, because I don't, no doubt if I say it, somebody will go, oh, you said this, and actually that's factually incorrect, because people like us, to some people, for some reason, get scrutinized more than people who can actually influence things. Yeah, I don't, it just sort of, the whole thing is just odd, and you look at the way certain people have left Tony Mowbray, Alex Neil, Ross Stewart, now Alex Pritchard.
I think
You
the
know what
end
I
all of
mean?
it, whatever's happened, the end all, we've now lost a very experienced footballer, and not just like an experienced footballer in an attacking position. Like, one of the, unless our footballers want tips on how to be a reality TV star, Bradley Dack isn't a great deal of use anymore. So it's just, we've lost a huge player, very good player as well.
Yeah.
Alan Nixon in the summer reported saying Pritchard, Gooch.
Well, people think
following on from Bart, we were told that they could. Or people can say he's not reliable, but he seems to get more right than he gets right. He's normally in the right ballpark with it. Mm. Is what I find.
Yeah, I find the whole thing exhausting. Really, it's like you can't have a conversation about it. It's a shame that we're going to lose, you know, a good player. You know, people are already, you know, being revisionist about him. You know, has he ever given less than everything when he's been on the pitch? No. Like, there's no way that, to me, he's the kind, like, he has demonstrated at Sunderland that he doesn't, he's the kind of player who doesn't care. You know, you've seen players over the years who play and clearly aren't bothered and disappear off, like, you know, people like Gilabodji and Dong and Letalek and stuff like that. Over the years, who clearly couldn't, Yanazai, you could probably argue, you know, when somebody's not bothered. I think it's clear that Alex Pritchard was bothered and is bothered. And it might be that it's gone the other way where he's bothered to the point where he's gone, well, stuff you then. But like you say, he's probably fallen into that trap. I mean, saw some theories. Oh, well, actually, he's a bad apple now, apparently, Alex Pritchard. And he's the reason, well, he was probably man of the match in the game against Leeds, which we won.
You don't know how to offer a bad apple a new contract.
And there's that as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's also like, it comes like, it's only saying that because we won at the weekend. Had we lost, then it's like the pressure gets put back on the board of, people ask more questions, but like with football, like in infinitum, it's like you win a game and all the questions like dissipate. And you know, if we go to Borough on Sunday and get a paste in, then all these questions will come back. And also, that'll be the end of the transfer window, and we'll see who they replace them with, because I imagine it'll be some 20-year-old from, or 17-year-old from Europe that's not kicked a ball, or an academy player that's not kicked a ball professionally. So, but hey, we might get Keeper Moore. Who knows?
Well, I was going to say I don't think they would do that now. I think they back themselves too much in a corner. And I was going to say them. I saw the Moorlings still there today, which would be a great sign, in my opinion. You never know. Neither can I. But I'm just saying still being reported that because he is the kind of player we need in that position.
It's just so annoying. Well, just like, why didn't you keep moving and get Moore, and then you'd be all right, probably. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, Tom. Go on.
No, I was just going to say you say that, but like the lad, this Felder. He's a 20-year-old. He's barely played this season. Like, so he's going to be, what, 2 months before he's ready? And that's, like, pretty much the end of the season. It's like, if they were going to do this thing where we improve the team now, go and buy some players that are playing football in the Championship or an equivalent level now. Just, like, they're not, like, either 19 and never played, or this is the thing, just have balance. We don't, just because we buy someone a bit older doesn't mean it's like, oh, we've abandoned the model. It's just like, buy someone better than Bradley Dack. Like,
I think Bradley Dack as well has come a bit of the new Will Grigg in that Orwell scene. Yeah. That's what happens.
It's just,
if you spend money on a striker, that means if you try and buy a striker and you overspend, then it Will Grigg, if you bring an experienced player, Bradley Dack, that's kind of the but Bradley Dack, but Will Grigg, it's that thing.
Because all transfers are the same.
Exactly, they are, thing. Actually, Tom. Right. It's been proven.
They definitely are.
Scientifically proven. Yeah.
With numbers.
Yeah. I thought it was funny when Ipswich have signed that that the Iraqi scouse lad who plays for Wimbledon and who we've been linked with. We've been linked with for ages, and it's like he's been prolific League Two, and you know you don't know how that's going to work out. But they've signed him, and then it's like their main journalists, like they'll be looking for another striker probably after this, and you're like, come on,
they've got like eight.
Well, tell you what, then if we should be looking at things like that and go, well, do you want to have a conversation about someone like Caden Jackson or even Nathan Broadhead? Do you know what I mean? Say, well, could we go there and say, look, like, is there a deal to be done here?
Gareth, we have four strikers. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't be greedy.
How many more do you want?
Yeah.
And they're all great.
Yeah, they are really good. yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say now.
Sorry.
It was probably really a really great point.
You want to go and get one of your strikers is what you're saying.
No, just I don't know, I can't remember what I was going to say. Tom's fault.
Oh, sorry.
I'll let you off, it's fine.
Good to be back.
My only basis of offering an opinion on Helder is I can't remember watching Rotherham on the telly last season, and he even scored and got man of the match, and he looked really good. But that's all
I remember my point now.
All I've got to go off, Gordon.
That's triggered it. So what I would say, trying to be for the people who may say, "Oh, I can never say anything positive," what I'd say in terms of the profile of Helder is he has played Championship football, and I would say when we've signed young players who are English or British-based young players, they generally have done reasonably well across the board. They've made a positive impact in the team. Maybe aside from, you'd probably say Burstall's probably the only one who hasn't really shown up as of yet. The players who've played regularly. If you look, you know, Hume, Sergin, Ballard, Ekwe, Jack Clark, Adji Lease, they've all been positive. So there's a positive argument coming from me.
I'm quite relaxed about that signing. It looks like, you say, the profile looks okay.
Nice and relaxing signing.
Yeah. I want them to sign a defensive midfielder and a forward, but, you know, said that last January to me.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We'll see what happens. And say we did go out in positive there anyway. Really positive.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Podcast excited about Leeds defender is the headline for that.
Yeah. Thrilled. Yeah. Relaxed about signing.
I'm feeling so relaxed about it.
It's going to be interesting, is it? Because we all know that last half hour of transfer deadline day can make or break a mood. And
people
are expecting somebody to come in. Like, if we'd lost on Saturday and we don't bring anybody in midfield or up front, it would be like meltdown. Because we won, it's taking the edge, like, which is ridiculous because it's one result. It's good for the manager and good for the players and good for the league table, all that. But I'm not going to say it papers over cracks, but you've still got to focus on, you know, your high performance culture approach to this would be, yes, we've won that game. However, it doesn't mean anything in isolation because the problem exists and remains. And we've achieved what we did on Saturday in spite of those issues. So let's hope that, you know, we do what we need to do. If we can get in that experience forward and a centre midfielder, you know, the Ahmad thing came up again.
Yeah, because whoever's running his Twitter account liked a tweet to say, he should be coming back here.
It does feel a bit like it'll be, well, we tried to get Ahmad, but we couldn't do the deal. Ish. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any wild predictions by anybody? I think we'll bring somebody in on loan because I think they'll let Gio Mattetti go on loan probably, or even sell him. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves either permanently or on loan, and that lets him bring somebody else in on loan is what I've been thinking with that
The thing is, if...
go on, Tom. Sorry,
no, go on, Gareth.
You go.
I'm just thinking. All right, you said go. Okay, all right. If a Premier League team or someone on the last minute says, you know what, here's 25 million, Jack Clark goes, because I don't think they're that confident they'd get. If someone offered a big deal right at the end, I think they'd sell him rather than wait until summer, even though that's apparently what they said they'll do.
Because and it would be no Ian guarantee. Hart's fault. That's what would
it would be Ian Hart's fault, okay. And it would be Jack Clark's fault. Yeah.
That would be like that'd be up there the worst thing they've done, like.
Oh,
yeah, it would.
yeah. But think about the money, Jack, that you have no access to.
They might be able to fix the toilets in the same life. Yeah. Maybe.
Might get a generator at last.
Yeah. Get a new generator.
Yeah.
Not something that'll fix
now, it. Announce it. Announce it. Like in the style of when like Leeds has announced they sold that player.
We're not done yet.
Announce it. You guys still up.
We've got it's a new like generator, a really
dramatic,
boys.
A really dramatic video, like revealing video of a generator.
In fairness, I would love them if you did that.
Yeah. You powered some of the biggest football clubs in the country, but how's it feel to power a club like Sunderland? Be really good. Probably more interesting than most of the most of the
great
new signing interviews. Yeah.
See, there you go. You can go out and that's positive.
Yeah. No more wilder predictions, Jackie. You got any theories?
It's not wild, but I think everyone's going to go into a complete meltdown when we obviously won't sign Ahmad.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And I think everyone's going to be really shocked at that, but I'm not really sure why.
I've not let the thought cross my mind once that he's coming back. I've not even considered it.
Not worth it at all.
If even he goes money forward, on... that'd be amazing.
Like, and plays against us.
That would be so good. That would be so funny.
yeah, but my prediction is not that, because I think it's even money on a cryptic Instagram story from Jan and Via, which has nothing to do with Sunderland, but lots of it'll get latched onto by Sunderland fans, and then there'll be loads of like stories in the papers going, Instagram story from Jan and Via suggests Sunderland could be reunited with a player and all this kind of thing, and then it'll be when he doesn't sign, everyone will be like, oh, and he'll do one going, sorry guys, I would have loved to have come back.
But Ruben Kazan just had an offer I couldn't refuse.
Yeah. He's very Ruben Kazan, Jan and Via, to be fair. That's very Ruben Kazan.
Surprised he's never played in Turkey.
I know, he's very Turkey vibes as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh well.
If you've got any wild transfer theories, do get in touch. If you want to do that? Be a bit weird, but you kind of know. Who am I to tell you not to?
I think we should re-sign Lyndon Gooch. That's what.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Nick gives Stoke a profit.
Yeah.
Like George McCartney back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We've agreed to do it in lieu of the Alex Neil compensation. So, installment payment, we'll take back Lyndon Gooch.
Stoke have tried it before. I remember when we bought Danny Hickenbottom off him when we were in the Premier League.
He did go back to them?
Yeah, so and then he played one season for us as a first choice centre half in the Premier League, and then Stoke come in and offered £500,000 less than what they'd sold him to us for. And then, because like that was delaying for ages, and then even Roy Keane had to come out and make a quote saying, I'm sorry, but if you think his value was decreased by being a Premier League starter for a season, then they're very much mistaken. And then they give us the asking price, which we still didn't make a profit on. It was still the same.
Was it 5 million we bought him for?
I'm not sure. I was thinking
it's
like
mad,
three,
that,
but
isn't
I'm
it?
Not sure.
I felt like everyone we bought at that time cost £5 million.
Cameron Jones, Kim was
Richardson.
Five or six. Yeah,
I feel like they were all cost £5 million.
Yeah, well, the glory days. Can you remember that far back at least, Jack?
No,
Oh
I'm
my
only
God!
sure.
Right. This is right. Okay, I've heard enough.
The excitement when remember on Sky Sports News when it was announced, like on the yellow ticker that we tried to buy Kabul, Malbranche,
Malbranche, yeah.
Chimbonda, Antonio, and it was like
Don't think it
that
was
was the second
Kabul. I think
season.
Kabul. Oh yes, the D turns
No, it
down,
was because
didn't
it was
he?
in the
Yeah, he
form, and then
turns down.
we got the
Yeah.
three, and he didn't
Yeah.
come. There was the whole like I'd rather like
I
something
wouldn't
about
go
the
there if there was
earthquake.
an
It was an
I
earthquake.
wouldn't even go to Sunderland even if there was an earthquake or something. Yeah. It was really weird, wasn't it?
And then he was great when he came to us
Eventually came.
eventually. He was
Yeah.
absolutely class, and then we obviously sold him, so
Sold him at a
shame.
loss to Watford.
Yes, to
That's
Watford,
what
yeah. There
we
you go.
do. That's what we do. That's what we
There you
do.
are, Jack. There's a lovely history lesson for you for the
I
past
know, yeah,
hour.
it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well. Right. Well, might be back later in the week because we've got Borough to look forward to. So that should be canny stroke, not canny. As always, thanks for listening.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.